You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
Welcome to Feeding Horses, sponsored by Tribute. In today's episode, we're talking about the most common feeding mistakes horse owners make, from not feeding enough forage, to overcomplicating diets with grains and supplements, to misreading body condition and pasture intake. Joining me today is Dr. Nicole Rambo. Dr. Rambo combines her passion for horses with her expertise in nutrition to make horse owners and industry professionals make informed feeding decisions. She oversees the Tribute Equine Research and Innovation Center, driving advancements in equine nutrition. Dr. Rambo is responsible for feed formulation, technical support for customers, dealers, and sales teams, and delivering educational seminars nationwide. She holds degrees from Texas A&M, the University of Kentucky, and the University of Minnesota. Dr. Rambo lives in Ohio with her husband, Zach, and an assortment of four-legged critters. So welcome, Dr. Nicole Rambo, and thank you for joining me on Feeding Horses.
Oh, lovely to be here. There's nothing I like to talk about more than ponies and nutrition.
Oh, awesome. Well, then you're in the right place. And today we are going to be talking about exactly that, how people feed their horses. And with your travels all around the country, I thought that you would be the perfect person for this topic. And because most feeding mistakes that people make come with good intentions. We all want to take good care of our horses. We all want to do the right things, but sometimes too much is too much of a good thing, not enough of a good thing. There's a lot of things that can kind of go awry and they can impact our horses' health. So, what I'd like to start talking about first is forage, which should be the foundation of all horses' diets. And so what mistakes do you see people make when feeding hay or choosing a hay?
So foundation of the diet, it's the most important thing you can spend your money on. Sometimes it's the thing we focus on the least. It doesn't come with a tag. Sometimes we feel like we're stuck with what we have. So I'd really put our issues into two big categories. Number one, quantity. Are we feeding enough to the horse per day?
Right.
Even the easy keeper needs at least 1.5% of their body weight in forage per day just to support a healthy digestive tract.
Yeah.
Horses can eat way more than that, and oftentimes they benefit from it. But we need to feed at least the minimum.
Right.
And then quality is important as well. And I don't mean that in the sense that every horse needs like the most gorgeous alfalfa you've ever seen.
Yeah.
Free of weeds. Soft enough it's digestible, so if it looks like straw, we probably shouldn't feed it to the horse. Put up at a low enough moisture that it's not moldy.
Right.
And this is a tricky one because all hay has at least a little bit of mold. I've never seen a hay test that is zero.
Yeah.
But it's certainly top of mind. I just consulted on a case where we tested every hay in the barn. Horses were having lots of digestive issues, lots of mold in that hay. And they said, it looks fine.
Yeah.
Not all of the mold you can see as easily. So really those two buckets, are we feeding them enough? And then is it good enough quality and appropriate to the critter of choice, right?
Yeah.
The easy keeper doesn't need the lush, gorgeous hay, but they need clean, safe hay. The hard keeper probably needs a nicer hay in greater quantities.
So do you see people rely too much on concentrate or, you know, bagged feeds over top of feeding forage?
I would say this is something that's definitely improved. So we've really spent the last 20 years really hammering that gut health message. So we are feeding more forage and we're more aware of it.
Good.
I do still sometimes see it.
But
I think this is definitely a trend that's improving, which is that's really heartening to see. And we have happier horses because of it.
Yeah, so absolutely.
If we're feeding the minimum amount of hay, we could maybe still feed more and make some tweaks. But less and less am I seeing, we're at a boarding barn and they get 2 flakes of hay a day no matter what. So that's super to see that we're headed in the right direction there.
Oh, good. That's very good to hear. Good. So your words are getting out there.
Hopefully, yes.
Yeah. All right. So if we've got a good forage, got a good hay and pasture and everything, so then we do sometimes need to add more on top of that. So for these concentrates and grains, what mistakes do you see people make when feeding them?
Well, I've seen some interesting ones. Again, they all come out of a good place, right?
Right, exactly. Yeah, we mean no harsh feelings here. We've all made mistakes, certainly.
Oh, I think back to some of the things I said as a kid. Didn't know better. You're just doing what people do. And I'm like, oh my God.
Exactly. I know.
Know better, do better. So when we think about hay or grass, even if we have the best quality forage in the world fed at appropriate quantities and quality, we still don't meet all of the nutritional needs of the horse. They need additional amino acids, vitamins, and minerals. Sometimes those extra technologies that support things like gut health are built in. Those are really super. And some horses, even on amazing hay, as much as they'll eat, also need additional calories. So that's where we have our ration balancers, those concentrated meals that are small. And then what I like to call full intake concentrates, designed to provide calories and nutrition, fed anywhere at a minimum of 4 to 6 pounds per day for your average size horse, can go up from there. So the main mistake I see is people not landing on the concentrate that appropriately matches their horse's needs and their forage. So for example, you might have a very easy keeper, right? That horse that stays fat on air. And you say, well, I just feed it a handful of the barn grain, which is meant to be fed at 4 or 5 pounds per day. So it gets something while everyone else is eating. Mm-hmm. Well, just because we're meeting his calorie needs through forage doesn't mean he doesn't have all those nutritional needs, which is where that pound of ration balancer comes in. So underfeeding a full intake concentrate, or sometimes picking a concentrate and it's maybe not one that's the best fit for the horse's life stage or caloric needs. So you find you're like, I'm feeding 15 pounds of this. Why does my horse still look terrible? It doesn't mean it's a bad feed. It's just not the appropriate fit for your horse and they need something a little more calorically dense. Right. So it's tricky up there. There are so many feeds available and it's finding one that really fits that niche of your horse's needs match to your forage and management to fill in the gaps. That's what the bagged stuff is supposed to do.
So how can owners tell if they're overfeeding calories or starch beyond, I'm sure the horse might gain weight. That might be one sign, right?
So the good news is calories is the only nutrient that I can look at the horse and say it is getting exactly the right amount. Not enough or too much. And that's our body condition scoring scale.
Right.
Because calories are just energy. Does that horse carry an appropriate amount of body cover, so fat, to be appropriate? So we want that body condition score of 4 to 6, depending on the type of critter we're looking at. We see a lot of horses that are 6+. Sometimes we get a little bit barn blind. There's actually, it's so hard to look at your own horse, right?
It is.
Yeah. But there's a lot of research that shows that we have increasing numbers of horses who are obese.
Okay.
So things like getting a second opinion, taking pictures over time.
Right.
Because sometimes that weight creeps up on us. And if the horse is gaining weight, so they have, a lot of fat cover over their belly, we start to see fatty pockets on the neck, behind the shoulder, the tail head. That's a really good indicator that they're getting too many calories in their diet. Okay. So we think about, what concentrate are we feeding? Maybe they just need a ration balancer. We're already on a ration balancer. It's a little tougher because you need to manage their intake from forage for calories.
Right.
Starch is a little trickier. And I would say sugar and starch are what I like to look at together. So non-structural carbohydrates. Starch is going to come from things, corn, oats, barley. Some other ingredients have a fair amount of starch as well. A lot of your sugar comes from your forage. So that's a little bit harder where we want to do a dietary analysis to figure out what are they getting and is it appropriate? The great thing is horses are living longer now. There's also more veterinary issues that we know about because horses have the luxury of living longer. So that insulin dysregulation where we want to keep sugars and starches low. So ultimately, I don't have an easy answer for you unless you were feeding sticky sweet feed or straight oats. I can feel very confident saying you're feeding too much sugar and starch there. And let's rework the diet to pick concentrates that honor the digestive physiology of the horse. Horses are designed to eat forage first. We traditionally fed lots of sugars and starches to the working horse back in the 1900s, the early 1900s.
Yep.
It was cheap, easy energy
right.
that helped those horses do their job. With time, again, know better, do better. We understand there are more appropriate, healthier choices. So fiber and fat are really great additions to the diet to provide those calories, again, in a way that honors their digestive physiology, reduces your risk of things like digestive upsets, upsetting all these different diseases we now know are caused or exacerbated by lots of sugar and starch in the diet. But yeah, ultimately, unless you're feeding sweet feed or oats, let's do a dietary analysis, figure out where you're at, and if we need to tweak.
Okay. Very good. Along with the concentrates, we have a lot of people will also feed supplements. Supplements are very popular, as I'm not telling you something you don't probably know. Do you see people feed too many supplements, and can that be, or too many, can too many be a bad thing?
I have been in y'all's feed rooms. Sometimes it looks like the mad scientist is in there. So again, supplements go back to we want to do the best for our horse.
Right.
And sometimes it's because we feel out of control in the sense that I'm in a boarding barn. I can't control the rest of their diet, but yeah. I could buy supplements to put on top. So I understand where that desire comes from.
Sure.
I will also say I formulate supplements. I use some supplements. We at Tribute manufacture supplements. So there are select cases for supplements. So not every horse, even on great quality pasture, the right concentrate, some of them need a little bit extra of different yes. things. So one horse in the barn might need a hoof supplement. We may need some additional vitamin E because we have a horse with a neuromuscular issue. But when I find that every horse needs a list of supplements this long, that's usually an indicator to me that something in the base part of the diet, if we think about it as a pyramid, forage on the bottom, mm-hmm. concentrate in the middle, supplements at the tippy top, right? Those should be the smallest and they should be for select things. If we're adding tons of supplements to every horse, we probably have an issue in the base of the diet that it'd be a lot more effective to address. Most of the time, those extra supplements, they're just wasting you money. Occasionally, though, we absolutely can imbalance the diet or even create issues of subclinical toxicity. For example, if we're layering multiple supplements with selenium, which has yeah. a really narrow range of toxicity. So I'd say most of the time it's benign. You're not hurting anything. Are you helping? Are you spending money? But occasionally, yeah, we definitely do see issues when we're just layering so many supplements on top of each other. And our time and money would be better spent
right.
taking a step back and figuring out how do I fix what's really going on here? And then keep those supplements for the very select issues, joint support for the horse who needs it, things like that, instead of trying to provide base nutrition. So if yeah. every horse has a muscle supplement, a hoof supplement, a hair coat supplement, that kind of tells me the base of our pyramid might need to, you know, get some attention.
Yeah, definitely. And so you mentioned earlier a little bit about how some of our horses are getting a slightly higher body condition than perhaps what they really need. What kind of mistakes have you seen people do to get their horses to said slightly higher body condition score than they need?
Yes. Well, I will preface this by saying I always want to feed a hard keeper before an easy keeper. It's so much easier to just put hay in front of them full time, which is lovely. But I think about, you know, our easy keepers who we've fed to obesity, again, in two camps. One, I feed him a scoop of grain because I love him and everybody else gets it. And I'm
right.
a terrible owner if I
yeah. don't.
Right?
The horses think that, don't they?
Well, at feeding time, they might try to convince you.
Like,
those horses just need a ration balancer. All those nutrients in a pound or two a day, low sugar and starch, low calorie, pumped in nutrition. Once we address that part, the tricky part is it can be hard to manage the forage intake of an easy keeper while still making sure we're providing hay in quantity and enough of the day to really support
right.
gut health.
Right.
So there it's thinking about, do they need the lovely alfalfa? Probably not. What about a nice clean grass hay that's not as, you know, calorically dense so they can spend more time eating it? And then using things like grazing muzzles, slow feeders to
yeah.
extend the amount of time they're eating. But really, if we take that obese horse and we just throw it out on the pasture, let it eat as much grass as we would like, we are playing with fire.
Yeah.
So that horse may have underlying insulin dysregulation. As an easy keeper, certain breeds are more prone to it. But we also have strong data that shows if we feed a horse to obesity, it affects their metabolic hormones and makes them more likely to develop insulin dysregulation. And the end point of that is laminitis. If we have a severe enough case and their hormones get dysregulated, they get enough sugar and starch in a meal, all of a sudden you have this horrible health issue you're dealing with. So it's absolutely tricky. Step one, let's not feed concentrates they don't need. Let's just fill in the gaps.
Right.
Then we control the forage. And then the lovely thing is I could tell you to go ride more because maybe they just need more exercise.
There you go.
But yeah. Like I said, I'd much rather feed a hard keeper any day because it is challenging to balance those things.
Well, okay. So why is it in some hard keepers that, you know, you try, you feed them, you do everything, and they still don't pick up weight? Like what, you know, what else can be done in some of those cases?
Yeah. So a couple different directions would we think about. So let's assume we've ruled out the veterinary issues. So,
right. Of course. You know,
we've done a fecal egg count. We've confirmed there isn't significant, you know, digestive upset. So a horse who has ulcers, we could feed them a ton. And if they're eating it, not all of them do, but some still eat with a horrible stomach. They're not very efficient. So it's kind of just going through them. So if we've ruled out some of those things, we've done a chem panel to make sure we don't have a liver kidney disease. Like there's lots of underlying stuff that you want to mark, you know, off to make sure we don't have that issue. But let's say we've done those and the horse is healthy, just skinny. So I'm going to start with my forage. Am I feeding it as much as possible? Making sure they eat it. So that's the really challenging one. I play barn detective when I, you know, if I was to come visit your barn, you're going to tell me about your horses and every moment I'm kind of looking around and you might say, you know, I see them hay and I see most of it, you know, basically looks like straw and it's spread around the stall. Well, is he eating enough of what you're offering? And then picking a concentrate to fill in the gap that, again, honors digestive physiology. The biggest mistake I see when we're trying to feed that hard keeper is they go, oh, it's not gaining weight. Let's add a fat supplement. Mm-hmm. Well, it's still not gaining weight. Let me pour some oil on top of that. So we start adding fat because, you know, us nutritionists have all talked about how fat is calorically dense.
Yeah.
It works well in the horse's digestive system. It's cool energy. So it's a really nice option. The trick there is the horse has to digest and absorb all of that fat in the small intestine. And if we feed too much in a given meal, it gets to the hindgut. And unfortunately, those millions of microbes that live in the hindgut that ferment fiber, they don't do well with polyunsaturated fat, which are the liquid fats that we dump on top of horses' diet.
Okay.
So we upset the hindgut, which makes them digest forage less efficiently, and forage is the bulk of their diet. So thinking about how do I add extra calories in a way that honors the digestive physiology, keep the meal sizes small. A high-fat diet is great, but we can take it too far. So oftentimes what I'm doing in those cases, I'm saying, let's chill out a little bit on the fat supplements. We're just going to pick a high-fat concentrate that's also high in fiber and feed multiple meals in appropriate quantities. So 5 or less pounds per meal for your average-sized horse. If I have to feed it 3 meals a day for a while, I can to help it put on weight. But really thinking about not mad scientisting it, sometimes just keeping it simple is the answer. Lots of good quality forage and then a high fat, high fiber concentrate in appropriate quantities often does the job.
So then when people are looking at their horses for body conditioning and are there places that are easily either overlooked or like they think it looks good, but it's really not so good? Or what are some of the easy telltale signs that maybe your horse is carrying a little too much condition?
Yeah, that's a great question. So, you know, we do a lot of personalized equine feeding plans, and they always ask for a picture of the horse to get an idea of, you know, what you as a horse owner are saying versus what the horse looks like. So when I think about body condition scoring, I'm actually looking at fat cover over the ribs. I'm looking at the quality of muscling over the top line. Yes, if they're ancient, their top line, you know, may be suffering. But, you know, I have a 30-year-old out in my, I'm pointing at my body as we're talking. I have a 30-year-old out there who still has muscle, right? It's muscle appropriate to their age, their stage of work, things like that. And then I'm looking for areas of discrete fat deposits. So the crest of the neck, behind the shoulders and either side of the tail head. The rib coverage is the main thing that tells me energy intake. Okay. So that's where if I stand next to the horse and I run my hand down their side, I want to be able to easily feel their ribs, but not see them. That'd be a body condition score of 5. The best way you could tell if your horse is over conditioned, so you stand at their shoulder and you run your hand right down the side of their barrel. And if you see a nice depression as your hand goes in, they're carrying too much body condition.
Okay.
And the feeding changes we'd make for that, you know, are different than if a horse is ribby, or sometimes I see people say my horse is skinny, but it actually has no top line. That's where looking at those different areas is helpful. The discrete areas of fat pockets, they can just happen on obese horses, but we can also see them on horses who are within that healthy body condition score range, and they're an indicator that they may have metabolic issues going on. So okay. That's where I'd say, talk to your vet, maybe in your next wellness screening, you know, let's do some blood work to check for things like Cushing's and insulin dysregulation. I want to step back and look at the total picture of the horse, but when it comes to obesity, that main thing is just how much fat is over their ribs. And if you're pushing and you can't find them,
then yeah,
we're doing too much
okay.
in the calorie.
That's a good tip. And all right, so you've helped us understand a little bit where we can go wrong in feeding our horses. So let's talk about a little bit about where we can help people. And so if a horse owner thinks he or she's making a mistake somewhere or doing something wrong, how do they start? Where do they start to fix it, to make it better?
That is tough. So step one for you as a horse owner, weigh your forage. How much hay is your horse actually eating per day? You can use a hay net or like one of those big IKEA bags, and then just a fish scale. You can get them for less than $10 at Walmart.
Okay.
A fun activity I do sometimes when I'm doing in-person seminars is I ask everyone to go get 10 pounds of hay and put it in a hay net. You would be shocked at how wrong. Some people have like 25 pounds in there.
Interesting.
And some people have 4.
Right. So
that's a really helpful way to
say,
hey, how much hay am I actually feeding? Because we make this assumption that all flakes weigh the same, and they don't. We start there. Then I would look at the label of the concentrate you're feeding and say, you know, this is the size of my horse. This is the work they're doing. Am I feeding at least the minimum recommended rate? If the answer to that is no, you know, then I would go back and, you know, talk to my local feed store, call my feed manufacturer, say, if I, you know, I love Tribute, right? Well, there's a whole team of people that will help you find the right feed to make sure that you're feeding an appropriate quantity.
Yeah.
And then after that, definitely, you know, we're going to ask some questions along the lines of, does your horse have health conditions? Like having that basic vet wellness checkoff is really helpful to make sure we're matching the horse's diet to their needs. But yeah, step one as a horse owner, I'd go measure my hay and look and figure out how much am I feeding forage-wise, and then also my concentrate. Not every feed is 1 pound per quart. Like old sticky sweet feed was mostly 1 pound per quart, but a lot of our pellets are more dense. So you might be surprised at what you're feeding.
Okay.
So yeah, step one, let's figure out what we're feeding. If it's in the range on the bag, if we're feeding at least 1.5% of their body weight and your horse is performing good and looking well, we're probably doing great. If not, it's time to reach out and get some additional help to kind of fine tune and tweak things.
And so you may have kind of answered this, but like, if there's one thing, the simplest change that anybody could do like today to improve their horse's feeding program, what would it be?
Know what you're feeding. Go weigh it. Almost no one knows. Okay.
This is,
I want to know, how much do you offer your horse? How much do they eat? Because if they leave half their hay behind, know better, do better. We can't adjust it if we don't know what we're doing today. And that's the most important thing we can do as horse owners. Make sure we're hitting those minimums. Then we can fine tune it after that.
Excellent advice. And something that's perfectly, we're all perfectly capable of doing.
Yes, a fish scale, food scale, like you can get all of these things super inexpensive.
Yeah.
And just make sure we know what we're feeding today, because sometimes you will be surprised at what you're actually doing versus what you think you're doing.
Very good. Very good advice. And so if you will just hang on for 1 minute, we will be right back with our viral ideas, Real Horses.
If you've ever stood in the feed room wondering, am I actually feeding my horse the right thing? You're not alone. Feeding your horse can feel overwhelming. There are so many options, so many opinions, and at the end of the day, you just want to do what's best for your horse. That's where Tribute Equine Nutrition comes in. They're here to take that stress off your plate. Tribute combines safe, company-owned manufacturing with fixed formulas and the highest quality ingredients, so you can trust that what you're feeding is consistent and reliable. And they stand behind it with a 100% money-back guarantee. But what really makes the difference is their team. They'll create a free, personalized feeding plan for your horse based on their age, workload, and any challenges, so you're not left guessing anymore. They're also investing in the future of horse health through their own research farm, Tribute Equine Research and Innovation Center, so you know the recommendations you're getting are backed by real research. No matter what kind of horse you have, Tribute has a product and a team to support you. And if you've been thinking about making a change, now's a great time because your first bag is free. Just head to TributeEquineNutrition.com and for the referral, select Other and say the Feeding Horses podcast sent you.
So welcome back, and we are going to go into our viral ideas, Real Horses, where we talk about something you may have seen online or maybe you've heard about or other people have told you about, and it kind of makes you wonder, well, you know, is that really true? And so today for Nicole Rambo, we have the question, some people say you cannot feed a horse corn because corn will make a horse colic. Is there any truth to that?
Yes and no. Anything good, it depends.
Right.
So, corn is super high in non-structural carbohydrates, so sugar and starch, 75%.
Okay.
You could have, Stephanie, the most obese laminated pony, and I could feed it one kernel of corn and it would be fine. But if I fed it a lot of corn, I would colic your pony and give it laminitis and things would be bad. So overall, the corn as an ingredient by itself doesn't necessarily cause colic, but it's not really an ingredient that I would recommend for most horses. The only time I use a little bit of corn is in racehorse diets. So we're, you know, it's triple crown season. You're going to see some corn in those horses' diets because they're working tremendously hard. They're spending incredible amounts of calories and they need fast energy because they're running super fast. Right? They need that fast burst of energy. For most horses, that's not what they need. It's not appropriate. And in a lot of horses, it definitely could cause issues. So overall, does corn by itself make a horse colic? Not unless it's moldy corn, which is possible, which is why we do things like mycotoxin screening, all of that. Please don't go buy corn from your grain farmer neighbor. But it's just not an ingredient I would recommend for most horses.
Okay. Well, there we go. That tells us, that gives us another little clue. And I'm just curious now, a lot of concentrates used to have corn as an ingredient. Is that not so common anymore?
I would really say, especially in your premium feeds, we've all pretty much moved away from corn. You have the high sugar starch. You also have the mycotoxin risk. And it's just not the healthiest ingredient. So as we've gone towards, you know, low non-structural carbohydrates, more fat and fiber, we've really seen corn mostly come out of horses' diets just because it's a traditional ingredient, but not necessarily a healthy ingredient for the modern horse.
Gotcha. Well, that is good to know. And we appreciate that information. And I'm just very, very grateful that you were able to join us today on Feeding Horses.
I'm so happy to be here. Appreciate it. It's always fun to talk about horses.
It is. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
That's it for this episode of Feeding Horses, sponsored by Tribute. My thanks to Dr. Nicole Rambo for joining us. If you're watching on YouTube, please like and subscribe. And until next time, go spend time with your horses.